Good morning. Welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We're so glad you're here this morning. Few announcements for us this morning. For 7th through 12th graders, you will be serving dinner tonight at Green Street Ministries from 5 to 7. Also having your Super Bowl party from 5 to 9 at Ellie Kenningson's home. Make sure to check the bulletin for more info if you're interested in attending one or both of these tonight. Also, the Spring Gardening Series starts this Wednesday at 6 in McWhirter Hall. The first class will be on preparing for the spring growing season, and you can find more information on that in your bulletin insert. Also, everyone is invited to the Galentine's Day event with Sound Riot, a benefit concert for Mending Hearts, on February 13th at 7:30 in McWhirter. And lastly, just a reminder that Charge Conference is February 21st. Being a good neighbor is hard work. What's holding you back? We'll talk about that together today.
This morning, the voice of the Lord. See this morning the love of the Lord. Be changed this morning by the grace of the Lord. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have
have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
As forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the Gospel according to Luke. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of the fish that had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Once, when he was in one of the cities, there was a man covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he bowed down with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." Then Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he ordered him to tell no one. "Go," he said, "and show yourself to the priest, and as Moses commanded, make an offering for your cleansing, for testimony to them." But now more than ever the word about Jesus spread abroad. Many crowds would gather to hear him and be cured of their diseases. But he would withdraw to the deserted places and pray. One day while he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting nearby. They had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. Just then some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a bed. They were trying to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up to the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles in the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Then the scribes and Pharisees began to question, "Who is this who is speaking blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their questionings, he answered them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Stand up and walk'? But so you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the one who was paralyzed, "I say to you, stand up and take your bed and go to your home." Immediately, he stood up before them, took what he had been lying on, and went to his home, glorifying God. Amazement seized all of them, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen strange things today." After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." As he got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi gave a great banquet for him in his house, and there was a large crowd of tax collectors and others sitting at the table with them. The Pharisees and their scribes were complaining to his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Do I have any West Wing fans here? Yes. If you did not watch The West Wing when it was originally on TV, go to Netflix, watch it, consider it a piece of pastorally advice from me to you. But I learned so much from watching the show. One thing I learned is this. Are you familiar with that phrase, "Good fences make good neighbors"? Right, we've heard that. Did you know that that was actually from a poem written by Robert Frost? I didn't. And he was not writing to say that that's actually true. There was a conversation, and so one person on the other side of the fence was saying that. Robert Frost was saying, it's not actually the case that walls are what disconnect us from one another. So today we're continuing our series on being a good neighbor, and we're going to talk about what holds us back from that. What are the fences that we put in place that keep us from caring for one another? I think it might be helpful to start by looking at what a life looks like without these barriers. We have a great example in our scripture passage today when Jesus heals the paralytic man. What we know of the story, a group of guys wanted to bring this paralyzed man to Jesus. They couldn't get to him, and so they climbed up onto the roof, dug a hole in the roof, and let him through that way. Talk about creativity and persistence. We don't know the details of this story. I think that's because we don't have to. Was this a good friend of theirs or just some random stranger? We don't know. Doesn't matter. Did they like this guy, agree with his political views, think he was a good person? Doesn't matter. Did they have time that day? to put this into their schedule? Doesn't matter. Were they worried about how other people would respond? Now listen, they dug a hole in somebody's roof. I'm sure someone was not happy. It didn't matter. This guy was in need of healing. They knew who could heal him. They cared for their brother by making sure he got what he needed. Can we say that we would do the same? Or do we let our fears hold us back? Maybe it's the clock. Life is so busy and we have a lot of things vying for our attention. There just always isn't adequate time to be a good neighbor. Can anyone relate to this? These are important things, no doubt, that are filling up our time. But I want to challenge us today that if these things are making us too busy to care for others, then our priorities are not in order. In God's economy, we are called to care for each other first. Worry about the other stuff later. What else? How about a fear of rejection? How often do we overthink doing something kind for someone because we worry about how they will respond? They might reject our offer for help. They might not want to spend time with us. They might judge us for our awkwardness in approaching them. We are introverted or socially anxious and just have some fear about initiating contact. I get it. This is my biggest holdup too. But we gotta figure out how to get over it, get through it, work past it. Maybe we have some internal work to do to get over our fears. Maybe we need to be more creative in our approach. Whatever it is, we can't let fear of rejection hold us back. And what about fear of the other? We are seeing all too much of this right now. Maybe we just don't like someone. Maybe we disagree with their political views. Maybe we judge their decisions. Maybe we're afraid of them, or we don't get them. It's still not an excuse. Even if someone else is not being a good neighbor themselves, then it's most especially our job to show them what that means. Our passage today said it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Whatever our reasons for being held back from caring for others, these fears, these hang-ups, are all just a mistaken sense of priorities. They answer to what the world says is important, not what God says is important. This is affirmed in the calling of the disciples that we read about in Luke. What I see in this story is the newly called disciples, specifically Peter, having to choose to trust Jesus over what they know of the world. These guys are professional fishermen. Jesus is not. And yet here comes Jesus telling them how to do their job after a hard night. They are already tired and frustrated from not catching many fish. And wise guy Jesus comes along and says, here, let me just tell you how to do that. Now, come on, be honest. If that's you and me, we're responding like, no, this is my job. This is my profession. I know how to do it. If the fish weren't caught tonight, there's no fish to catch. But Jesus persists, and Peter relents, and sure enough, their nets are filled with fish. So what's the point? Well, for one, Jesus can be trusted, even when what Jesus is telling us seems to go against what we already know. The disciples knew how to fish. They weren't amateurs. But Jesus knew something they didn't. And because of this, they dropped everything when he told them to follow him. No doubt they were afraid, afraid of what they had to leave behind, afraid of the unknown, afraid of the risk. But they chose to follow anyway. They chose to overcome their fears. And after this, they're commissioned to go and do the work of Jesus in the world. They are called to leave their jobs behind to follow Christ. This is the most defining moment for them. They could have answered to fear for their livelihoods, fear of what others would think of them, fear of dealing with people they didn't like or didn't know. They were human, so I imagine they had these worries just like we do. but they instead chose to join in on the life-transforming work of God, the powerful ministry of being a good neighbor, of catching people instead of fish. And the term used for catching people here was actually changed to a different term for catching, connected to the Greek word zoe, which means life. So in essence, they weren't just catching people for the sake of catching people. They were catching people to bring them into the abundant life that God had waiting for them. The world tells us to worry first about our careers, our reputations, our own comfort. The world tells us that good fences make good neighbors and higher walls will keep us safe. But God says no, not in my kingdom. God knows that higher fences keep us divided. God knows that higher walls breed more fear. God says, in my kingdom, we love our neighbors first because nothing is more important than the well-being of every single person. God has created us to have fullness of life, and our number one priority is to protect this. And when my neighbor's fullness of life is in jeopardy, then so is my own. Desmond Tutu describes the African concept of Ubuntu as my humanity being inextricably bound up in your humanity. In other words, when you suffer, I suffer. It doesn't matter if you suffer behind a fence where I can't see you, both of our lives are still at risk. In 1 John, it says, perfect love casts out fear. There is no room for fear when we are loving our neighbors. My friend this week said, fear brings out the worst in us. I think she's right. Fear brings out our insecurities, our selfishness, our bigotry. But love brings out the best in us. Love brings out our generosity, brings out our faith and our hope. Love makes us drop everything that we are doing to pick up our neighbor who is suffering and take him to Jesus. Love gives us the creativity and the persistence to climb down through a roof to make sure she gets the healing that she needs and the new life she deserves. Fear runs away from those opportunities. Fear runs away from the risk. But love runs into them. What voices are you going to listen to? The voice of fear that tells you to put up a higher fence, or the voice of love that tells you to tear it down? Perfect love drives out fear. Our calling is to go deeper into love, abiding love, where everything else flows from that place. When that becomes the center of our being, there's no longer room for fear to exist. And then what naturally happens is we become a good neighbor because there's nothing there anymore to hold us back. Love instinctively knows how to have the right priorities. Love is committed and persistent. Love inspires us to be creative and empowers us to be brave. And the best place to be filled with this love is right here as we come together at this table. It is here where we let go of our fears and all that is holding us back. We leave that behind and instead choose to break bread together, sharing in the feast of the God who gave everything so that we could sit here with all of our brothers and sisters. No one is excluded from this table. There is no place for who's right and who's wrong, for determining who's deserving and who isn't. No sin too great, no fear too strong. It is at this table where we are filled with the perfect love that casts out fear. It is at this table where we learn to be good neighbors. When we share in this meal together, we cannot help but be transformed. And when you leave from this table, may you be inspired to go home and create this same radical, life-transforming community with your own neighbors. It is here at this table where we learn how to sit around our own tables. Here, we are filled with the Spirit of God who empowers us to offer abundant life to the whole world. May our own tables reflect this radical inclusivity, this generous nourishing of our bodies and our minds and our spirits. May our homes and our hearts be filled with the love of God that tears down every wall, that climbs onto the highest roof, that leaves our nets behind in the water to go and care for people. You have been created by God to be a good neighbor. Living satisfied with anything less is depriving yourself and the world of the abundant life that God desires for you. So get past it, work through it, work around it, whatever you need to do, but we need to be intentional. We don't have time to waste being afraid. God is saying, here I am, listen to me, trust me. Out of all the voices screaming at us right now, God says, listen to me, I can be trusted. I have created you for so much more than your fears will tell you. I have created you for love. I have created you to be good, to do good. People are suffering, even dying, waiting for a good neighbor to come along and offer them the life-transforming love of God. You are the person they are waiting for. So go, be that person. Love is on your side, and love never fails. Amen.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We are glad that you are here, and we hope you will join us for some coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall, which is located through the doors to your right, following our worship service today. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions you may have about our church and its ministries. They will be stationed in Reed Hall and in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary following our service. You can look for their blue name tags. If you are a student, either undergraduate or graduate, you are invited to join the student community for lunch and faith discussions following this worship service. You may gather together in Reed Hall. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. On one side of the card, you may record any comments you have for church staff or lay leadership. If you desire a call from one of the staff persons regarding your comment, please indicate that on the card and include your contact information. On the other side of the card is a place for prayer requests. Please indicate if these prayer requests are to be shared or are confidential. The card can be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down the pews in a few moments. We also invite you to please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad you find near the center aisle down the pew if you have not already done so. And as the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, we invite you to take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know at the end of our service today. Our altar flowers are always such a joy for us who participate in worship. And so today, our congregation has an opportunity to also enjoy these beautiful flowers that we find here on our altar today. You are invited to take some flowers home to create a bouquet at home, or perhaps there is a neighbor that you might want to deliver some altar flowers to. We also extend our sympathy today to the family of Vonnie Opal Luton, who died Saturday, January the 28th. A memorial service is planned for Friday, February the 17th at 3 p.m. here in the West End Sanctuary. Visitation will precede the service in McWhorter Hall beginning at 1 p.m. Among her survivors who are West End members are Ken and Peggy Luton, Diane Luton Blum and Jeff Blum, Will Blum, Rachel and Joseph Lowe, and Carly and Mary Luton. We also extend our sympathy today to Susan and James Sandlin in the death of Susan's mother, Leola Hunley, who passed away on February the 3rd at the age of 100. Her funeral will be February the 11th at 2 p.m. at Otewa United Methodist Church in Otewa, Tennessee. Among her survivors who are West End members are James and Susan Sandlin, Catherine Sandlin Morrell and husband Mark, her great-grandchildren Camden and Beckham Morrell, Andrew Sandlin, and great-grandchildren Isaac and Sabrina Sandlin. Each of us has been given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Let us give as God has so abundantly given to us in the giving of God's tithes and our offerings.
be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image. Breathe into us the breath of life. Your love remained steadfast when our love failed. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophet. And so, with all your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty all who are oppressed, and to announce that a time has come when you would save your people. Jesus healed the sick, he fed the hungry, and he ate with sinners. By the baptism of his life, suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always by the power of your word and Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself for us, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which was given for you. As often as you eat it, do so in remembrance of me." And after the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink it, do so in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
This is the bread of life. The bread in which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. Everyone who thirsts, come, drink of the cup of salvation. In the Methodist tradition, this is an open table. All who are seeking a new or renewed relationship with Jesus Christ are welcome to join this feast. This month, our communion offering will be for the 30-hour famine. Our teenagers are spending 30 hours without food in hopes to understand and experience hunger. They're raising money for two ministries. One is a local ministry called Green Street Ministries, and they are building bathhouses and providing a safe home for their residents with that money. And then the second is World Vision. World Vision helps to bring food and clean water to starving children all around the world. Please note the directions in your bulletin for receiving communion. If you'll come by way of the center aisle, kneel at the offering rail, hold your hands when you're ready to receive. You can stay as long as you would like at the altar and then return by way of the side aisles. If you would like a gluten-free option, we'll have that over here on the lectern side. Bobby will serve you both the elements, the bread and the juice. If you need to be served in your pew, catch my eye or the eye of one of the ushers, and we'll come serve you there. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
if you'll please stand. And join me in the prayer after receiving. You have given yourselves to us, Lord.
Now we give ourselves for others.
Your love has made us a new people.
As a people of love, we will serve you with joy.
Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you in all things.
Amen.
Is hard and holy work. We have been liberated from our fears and we have been empowered in love. So go. In the name of the one who has created us, the one who has redeemed us, and the one who continues to sustain us. Amen.